Our scripture reading this evening comes from the book of Colossians, chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Conduct yourself with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Your speech must always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you know how you should respond to each person. Continuing on the series I started this morning, what do our freedoms in Christ look like? You know, Christianity is often defined by the things we don't do. We all know Christians don't drink, they don't dance, they don't swear, they don't smoke, they don't go to questionable places, they don't see movies at movie theaters because wicked movies are sometimes shown there. And we can go on a long list. We don't agree with all those don'ts, just in case you're wondering. But oftentimes, that's how people portray our faith. We are the don't people. In reality, we are the do people. We are free to be like Christ. We are free to be humble. That's what we looked at this morning. It's not something to run away from. It's something to embrace and to recognize when the flesh is trying to tell me that pride is good and humility is bad, is lying to me. And I want to make the wise choice and embrace humility, even when it seems hard at the moment. Well, tonight, we're looking at what this abundant life is Jesus said we could have. We can have life and have it abundantly because we can be free to guard our lips. Now, this is the second in the series because after humility, I think this is the most important thing we're called to do. I know it can sound a little old-fashioned, humdrum. It used to be thought more highly of. Of course, in the society in which we live today, the idea that people would guard their lips, you know, our governor ran for governor because she was going to fix the blank roads. And she used a profanity, and people thought it was okay. You just talk like that. It's all right. It's not. It's not. And I hope to demonstrate that to you. How we speak impacts our souls. Young people, this is very important for you. As we grow up, we go through different rites of passage. You know, I didn't have to wear a diaper. I could control myself. Pretty good. I was a big boy. My mom told me so. Then I quit wetting the bed. I could go the whole night through. I was an even bigger boy. And we all go through this cycle. Been a long time on my case, but at one time I was in diapers, and at one time the bed wasn't always dry in the morning, but time goes on and your body develops and you're able to do things you couldn't do before. And the time comes when I'm hanging with my guy friends and I'm going to show them how grown up I am and I'm going to use some of the forbidden words. I would never say it in front of mom or dad. I'd get killed. Well, close to. They wouldn't not literally kill me, but I might wish I were dead. Never having been dead, so therefore not knowing the severity of it. But in order to prove how big I am and how grown up I am, I begin to use words that I would not otherwise use. And it's a trap. It does not make you big. A three-year-old can pronounce those words. It makes you foolish. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 29 and following says, "Let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth, but if there's any good word for edification according to the need of the moment, say that, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. All bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and slander must be removed from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." Let's take that passage and break it down some. He tells us no unwholesome word should proceed from our mouth. Ephesians 3, verse 6 says, "The wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, and in them you also walked when you were living in them. But now you also rid yourself of all of them, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene speech from your mouth." The wrath of God is coming upon people because of their obscene speech. Things we say matter. We are told no unwholesome word should proceed from our mouth. I made the statement, I said, how we speak impacts our souls. And the passage tells us that when we use unwholesome words, we grieve the Holy Spirit. What does that mean practically? We pull away from God. We push God away from us. And as you go down that road and God gets further and further away from you, you're trapped in that more and more. Haven't you met people? Every other word has to be a profanity. Maybe some of you younger ones haven't been out in the world enough to meet those people. If you're an adult, you've run across them. If you're an adult male, I guarantee you've run across them. Because guys think it's okay if they're just with a bunch of guys to cut loose and have no restraint. And it's not right. It's not good. It's very, very foolish. And what does it do to them? It changes their hearts. It makes them cold toward God and warm toward wickedness. If that's who you want to be, one of the best paths is to use a lot of obscene language. It will lead you down a very steep path to a very bad place. I don't want to be anybody's word policeman, but I want to warn you that the scriptures say we have to be careful. Ephesians 5:6 says, "See to that no one deceives you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. As you try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord, do not participate in useless deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things that are done by them in secret." It's disgraceful to even speak of them. It's disgraceful to use this language. It's not adult language. I had a minister friend of mine. He told me a story. He had some people come over to give him a quote. He needs some work done on his house. I don't know if it was a roof or window replacement or what it was. But one guy comes, and as they're walking around outside the house, he's looking, and he starts taking the Lord's name in vain. And my friend says, "Oh, you know him, do you?" He said, "What?" "Well, Jesus Christ." He said, "Don't start on that religious stuff with me. I don't want to." "Well, you're the one that brought him up. I didn't say anything until you did." And the guy didn't get the bid. In fact, the guy got mad and stormed away and never gave a bid. But he called him, and I thought a clever way, on his language. Why should we be subjected to this? The man was utterly ignorant of what he was doing. He used this terminology so often, he didn't recognize the inappropriateness. I'm going to somebody's house. I hope to get business from them. I hope to do a job for them, which they're paying me, and I'll make a profit. And they'll get their job done. I should be as inoffensive as possible. I should arrive on time, present myself as competent, and just common sense business. And this man has forgotten it all because he slipped so far away from what we call common decency. And why? Because he refused to guard his lips. We're told further in Ephesians, all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and slander must be removed from you, along with all malice. Be kind, compassionate, forgiving, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Learning to use our tongue rightly is what God calls us to do. I'd ask you to remember how evil the tongue can be, because it can be very evil. James 1:25 says, "But one who has looked intently at the law of freedom, and has continued in it, not having become a forgetful hearer but an active doer, this person will be blessed in what he does." See, he calls it the law of freedom. What is this freedom that Christ came to give us? The law of freedom. I am free from foolishness. I am free from having a view of life that says, if I want people to think I'm a manly man, I have to use obscene language. People don't even understand what a man really is. What is a man? It's his character. The fruit of the Spirit shows you what a man looks like. It's not easy to be kind. It's not easy to be gentle. It's not easy to be compassionate. It's not easy to be patient. It's not easy to be loving. It's not easy to maintain joy in your life when life is hard much of the time. And the man who does that is showing his masculinity the way Christ showed his masculinity. Not in a worldly way, but in a godly way. James 1:26 says, if anyone thinks himself to be religious, yet does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his own heart. This person's religion is worthless. You see the danger of it? It deceives our hearts. We lose sight of it. It just becomes commonplace, and it carries us along. In James chapter 3, we're told, the tongue is a fire, the very world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our body parts as that which defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. The tongue can be of the devil. The tongue can be something that Satan uses for his purposes. We should be using it for godly purposes. It's easy to slip into these things. You know, we remember the Proverbs. A soft answer turns away. Anybody remember what it turns away? A soft answer turns away wrath. Yeah. What happens? What is he saying? He's saying somebody's losing their temper. And of course, what do we tend to do? You lose your temper with me, I'll lose mine back at you. And it just escalates, escalates, escalates. But God says, no, when somebody loses their temper with you, you respond gently. You respond kindly. And what does it do? It tones down that wrath. It helps the other person stay in control. We have to recognize that evil language is contagious. You put yourself around it, and you'll find that it begins to be something you catch. There's many things I won't expose myself to. I won't not watch a movie because it has a couple of words in it that I don't approve of. But there are some that have little but inappropriate words in them. And if I begin to watch a show that has that, I just turn it off and go, no, I'm not listening to that barrage. That's just wicked and wrong. And it's not what I want to call entertainment. We can't guard ourselves from all exposure to the wrong use of language. It's a very big part of our society. People see it as a fun thing to do. They scrawl it in graffiti around places that are inappropriate, so we're forced to see these words. They speak of it quite openly. You can be in restaurants, and the table next to you can be just shooting the breeze, having a good time, and they use profanity right and left with one another. It's all around us. You will be exposed to it, and it will impact you when you're exposed to it. Colossians 4, verse 5 says, conduct yourself with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Your speech must always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Conduct yourself with wisdom. Now, that's just toward outsiders. So if they're Christians, we don't have to be wise in the way we could. Of course we do. If we owe that to outsiders, what more do we owe to each other as brothers and sisters in Christ? He talks about our speech as though it were seasoned with salt. It's a preservative. And part of it is, you got to write yourself some speeches, some scripts. What am I going to say when this happens? What am I going to say when I stub my toe or step on a Lego or miss the nail and hit my thumb? Well, I've heard people say lots of different things in those circumstances. And so I thought about it and I said, what should I say? What should my response be when I'm in those situations? Because I try to avoid those situations. I've never stepped on a Lego because I intended to. But I have stepped on Legos. Now, the little kids are grown and gone, but the grandkids come and visit. And they don't pick up after themselves well. And sometimes there's something left on the floor, a gift for grandpa. And so it still happens from time to time. And I finally figured out an excellent thing to say at those moments of surprise and pain. Ouch! That hurts! Everybody knows I'm in pain, but nobody thinks I'm mad at them. I've been around people and they respond so strongly when they hit their thumb. I'm afraid to say anything. They're just losing it. They're cussing the blue streak. They throw the hammer, break something. I'm going, man, this guy's out of control. What am I supposed to do here? You know, I say, ouch. You go, what happened, Ken? I step on the leg. Oh, I hate that. That's horrible. And I appreciate them saying, I hate stepping on Legos too. I think it feels horrible too. They're confirming my hatred of Legos as something left on the floor to be stepped upon is valid. And it calms me down. All right, keep a sharp eye out. There might be other of those little torture devices lying around. Be more careful when you're hammering that nail. Things happen. But you see, we don't always think. If you slip now and then, and words come out of your mouth that shouldn't, don't just say, well, forgive me, Lord, I shouldn't have said that. But write a script for yourself. Okay, next time something like that's happened, what do I want to say instead of that? That's how we train ourselves. That's how we break bad habits. That's how we stop bad habits from getting started in the first place. It should not surprise you that words will come out of your mouth from time to time that don't normally come out of your mouth. It's part of our fallen condition. And because unwholesome language has the power to push us away from God, of course, the world, the flesh, and the devil are doing everything they can to get us to engage in unwholesome language. Because then we become our own enemy. Then we're pushing God away instead of drawing near Him. Ephesians 4:15 says, but speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in all aspects of Him who is the head, that is Christ. What is our goal? It's to always speak the truth. But it's always to speak the truth in love. So I urge people to stop and think. Whenever we're talking to one another, we should have two goals in mind. My first is, I want you to know I love you. I want you to know I respect you. I want you to know I think you have value and worth. Pick any of those that you're comfortable with. They're all good ways of expressing, I want to treat you the way Christ wants me to treat you. And what's my second goal? Well, it's whatever it is. It's whatever I want to communicate to you. I want you to know you have value and worth even though you're the one left the Legos on the floor. You're not my favorite person at the moment, but I do love you. And I do wish you'd be more careful in picking up after yourself. I might get a good response from that. I want from other things. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 to 10 says, to sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, loving, compassionate, and humble. Not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you are called for the very purpose that you would inherit a blessing. For the one who desires life to love and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. If you desire life, if you want to have a good life, if you want to love and see good days, isn't it interesting, he says, then follow this precept. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from deceit. Now I look around me and I see people speaking lies all over the place. And I see a large part of society trying to say, if you won't join us in this lie, then you're a bad person and we are going to cancel you. People lose their jobs. People are bullied into agreeing with the lies. I have no problem. I was driving here this afternoon, and I was coming up Alpine Avenue, and I looked over, and I saw this lady walking. Well, I assumed it was a lady because she's wearing a granny dress, you know, like granny on Beverly Hillbillies, that kind of old-fashioned dress, and went down to the ground. I thought, well, you don't see that much these days. but she just looked a little strange. So I was getting closer, and I looked, and I'm going, that's not a woman, that's a man. And he had on lipstick and eye makeup and great big earrings on his ears and a big smile on his face as he was prancing down the street in his girl's clothes. I don't know what he was trying to prove. He had a point. I don't begrudge him his point. He was a man pretending to be a woman. He was not a trans. He's pretending to be something he's not. Now, in this country, if you want to pretend to be something you're not, you have the freedom to do that. I don't necessarily want to take that freedom away from you. I think it's rather silly. I think it's unbiblical. But when you're there, there's so many other things in your life that are further out of joint. that's not his chief problem. Probably his chief problem is he's a sinner and he needs to know Jesus Christ. What's my point? 5 years ago, I didn't see things like that. People weren't that open. When people did things that were considered improper, they did them in secret. Now they do them very, very openly. And we are encouraged. Think about how you're going to respond. I don't want to disrespect that person. I think they're doing enough of that to themselves. It's unseemly to behave that way. But in the times in which we live, it's seen as perfectly acceptable. God calls us to have a different outlook. He calls us to be salt and light in the world. Not to just go around making fun of and condemning, belittling and shaming, but to speak the truth. What is the truth? Christ came to save us from our sins, and that gentleman can be saved from his sins the same way we have been from ours. But that won't happen if we don't speak the truth in love. That's hard to do. It's easy to condemn. It's easy to mock and ridicule. That's not what we're called to. If we guard our lips, God is pleased with that, and it draws us closer to him. When we don't guard our lips, we push God away, and we open ourselves to many other temptations. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful that your word gives us such wisdom. It's a small thing today. Our society thinks little of the words they use, of the obscenities they speak, of the crudeness, the unwholesomeness of their speech. Help us not be pulled into that. Give us grace that we would see these things the same way you see them. Bring honor to you and blessings to us as we exercise control over our lips. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.